News produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Southern FM News.
On FM, online, and via the Community Radio Plus app,
this is Southern FM.
88.3 Southern FM.
And it is my very great pleasure to welcome to the studio the Mayor of Kingston, Councillor Jenna Davey-Burns. Hi, Jenna.
How are you?
Really well, thank you. I saw you out and about, and it was on your council's Instagram feed, a photo of you and former Mayor Heidi Saab jumping up like you were in a car commercial or something.
Yes, we were.
And why were you so excited?
Oh, we get very excited, actually. We're at the launch of an incredible pavilion, actually. And look, whenever Heidi and I are together at council events, we always have a great time chatting with people. This one was really special.
This is at the Bricker Reserve in Moorabbin.
That's right. It's a very, very special build for us. It's one that I'm particularly proud of, not just because of the beautiful design. If you ever get a chance to go down and visit, there's windows that kind of allow you to see almost like a 360 degree view of the space. But the reason I love it the most is because it actually brings together lots of user groups.
Does it?
So we've got, there's the beautiful Dog Obedience Club that have been running for about 50 years, the Amiga Cricket Club.
I went to one of their classes. Now I know where GR Bricker Reserve is. I took Baxter the News Hound when he was just a pup.
Oh.
And he was no good at it, so
he needed some help.
We needed some help. We gave up on the obedience training because he's a pretty good boy generally. But anyway,
he's gorgeous.
They've got this wonderful shared space there.
That's right. That's right. And so they've got the Dog Obedience Club, the Amiga Cricket Club. There's rugby, little aths, and obviously it's just a beautiful space for the community to enjoy. So we were thrilled. We were absolutely thrilled to launch that space. And so yes, the jump of joy. We were leaping off the step in excitement.
And does it cater to all sports players, as in it's got toilets for men and women and changing facilities?
Very important
for all genders.
It's a great question and a really important part of what we're doing at Kingston. We've got lots of sporting clubs across Kingston that are recognising the growing number of women and girls wanting to play sport and making sure that we've got the right spaces for people where they feel comfortable and safe as well. Look, the facilities, they are fantastic and obviously very sustainable. The other really exciting thing about that site is our water management. We've got this incredible staff member who has been working for decades on water management projects. And that particular site has an incredible underground water management project that has been installed. So
fantastic. So they can harvest the water from the roof of the pavilion.
And put it
in the underground tanks to help irrigate the grounds, no doubt.
We've got lots of water management projects happening, actually. There's also the Purple Pipe happening on the other side of the city.
Now, Purple Pipes are where you have recycled water, isn't it?
Yes, that's
second-hand water, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. it's called Purple Pipe because they come in this beautiful, gorgeous purple pipe, actually, which is amazing. It's actually a beautiful purple. They will be irrigating sports fields, but also local businesses and traders over that way in our Green Wedge. So water management's a really big one for us at the moment, one we've been focusing on a lot.
I was just having a look at the minutes of council meeting, and it seems to me that there's a few questions that are quite loaded in there, I suppose, the way the questions are framed. Some of them appear to be, well, I would say homophobic in a way, because they're always asking about why is council doing things to make gender equality a thing. You know, they're loaded questions. Do you find that?
Question time is a really important part of council business, and it's the opportunity that we have, amongst many others, for community to come along and partake in the process of council.
Yes.
So we really, really value people who come to the gallery, who submit questions, but also to people who contribute to our consultations and through our advisory committees. These are also other really important ways of engaging with council. I guess what we have seen is there have been repeated questions, particularly focused on the LGBTIQA+ community. And those are questions, really, that I would encourage, if people have genuine concerns, to reach out to council and we can have meetings or have discussions.
Yes.
But to be repeatedly asking those questions in the gallery at our council meetings, I think it can be a bit distressing for people from that community.
Yes, absolutely. And, for example, there's one person who's asked, you have... Woman of the Year award, and that's a wonderful award that council sponsors. Why don't you have a Man of the Year award?
Yeah, it is. Look, it's a question we do get asked, and I think...
But you have Citizen of the Year, don't you?
We absolutely do have Citizen of the Year. Yeah. I think what we saw over the weekend was women and girls in the thousands rallying across Australia.
Yeah.
And that call went out because women and girls continue to face a traumatic and really distressing level of gender-based violence, and it has to stop. This is one of the many reasons why we need to have awards just targeted towards women.
Yes.
Because we know that there have been, there's gender pay gaps in Australia. There are gender pay gaps.
They really are.
We know that women face the increasing burden of trying to hold down careers and also be the primary carer for their children. Mm. We know that many women experience other forms of discrimination right here in Australia, and those are things that I think are a bit sad, and we need to work very hard to try and stop them. And having Women's Leadership Awards, I mean, look, for the first time in 30 years, Kingston's had an all-female deputy mayor and mayor team. But, you know, it's 2024. We shouldn't need to be celebrating these firsts, these moments.
No, I know, but it is significant that you do have that team.
It is.
And I just think people need to be more respectful of other people's views, respect their differences.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that I love about being in the council that I'm in is that we actually do have a lot of, there's a lot of things that we agree on, but there's other things that we don't, but we have respectful discussion and debate. And one of the things that I feel we're losing is the ability across our community to sit down and talk about things.
Yeah.
We don't have to agree on everything, but what I think we do have to have is respectful dialogue.
And you have a number of consultative groups, don't you? Citizens groups that actually advise and recommend to council various aspects that they're investigating.
That's right. I've sat on a few of them over my time in council,
mm-hmm.
and they involve members of the community. So we have a range from our business and development committee to our groups that work around the foreshore or the Green Wedge, so environmental protection.
Yes.
I've sat on our access and equity committee before and our arts committee.
Mm.
And these are incredible ways that community can get involved and be part of it.
So keep an eye out for opportunities, and they're always mentioned on the kingston.vic.gov.au website.
Yes.
And you're constantly refreshing your community consultation groups.
We absolutely are. We also we have our incredible community group that come together and have been helped us design our community vision. The consultations have been really exceptional recently. We've been seeing really high volumes of people contributing.
Mm. And don't forget too, there's always an opportunity if you want to get even more involved in local government to stand for council.
Exactly.
I think there's an election next year, is it?
Well, actually, it's in October.
Okay, it's coming up this year. Are there courses that people can do to help prepare them to stand for council?
Yes, there's lots actually happening at the moment. So councillor information sessions are running across a number of councils, and Kingston will be hosting one in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
There's also great programs that are being run by the VLGA and other peak bodies. So that's the Victorian Local Government Association.
Yes,
sorry,
that's
for
right,
those
mate.
Listening.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely.
And look, a shout out to Ruth McGowan, who was a mentor for me in my first year on council.
Mm.
And she wrote a fantastic book called Get Elected. And it is a fantastic guide. It's sort of a step-by-step process to running a campaign and how you do that.
And Kingston Council is not based on party political candidates, is it, particularly?
Well, we've been very lucky, actually. And I think in the last elections in 2020, when you saw, and I think about 5 independents being elected to this council group of 11, you really saw community recognising the importance of saying, away from the two-tiered party system. So what we do have is a group of councillors who, I think, when you look at the way that we vote, you'll see that there's differences. You know, sometimes we vote together on things, and other times you can see people have different views on different matters.
There's so many aspects of being on council, and you've almost got to be an expert on everything all of a sudden. But the great thing is you have fantastic staff officers, that is, who are experts
incredible.
In their field, like in planning,
yes.
in governance, in a whole range of areas.
We are very lucky. Kingston has an incredible staff and culture as well. And I know recently we've been hearing people coming to Kingston because they really want to work there. They're hearing great things. I think what we're seeing is a very innovative culture flourishing. We just hosted over the weekend something that I'm exceptionally proud of. And I was there yesterday with some of the staff and actually just sort of got this rush of goosebumps across my body hearing about how successful our wall-to-wall event had been.
Oh, yes. This is the Morty Street Art Festival.
Yes.
Warehouse walls were transformed,
yes,
quite literally, into giant pieces of art.
Yes.
Murals.
This was a first for council. And it took, I guess, council staff putting forward an idea that, you know, maybe previously in previous years would be seen as a bit risky, a bit sort of, oh, we're not sure if this will work.
A bit out there, so to speak.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It was an incredible success. We saw thousands and thousands of people coming through over the weekend.
Oh, really? I was wondering what the cut-through would be like and
thousands.
How... Oh, that's
yeah.
great to hear.
I haven't got the final numbers, and it might be a bit tricky because obviously walking around
They're
in
the
industrial estate. But
yeah.
it was, for anyone who was there or saw any of the pictures on social media, you would have seen just how incredible it was and really quite groundbreaking for something, you know, for a council to do something like this.
And it's something that people can continue to visit, can't they?
Yes, that's
because
right.
this is like a self-guided art trail that you've created here, or the artists have created.
They have. Oh, they did an exceptional job, actually. And we did have, there was a guide from the city of Frankston who normally runs the street art tours down there. He mm-hmm. came up to Mordialloc and was running the tours over the weekend. You can go online or go onto the social media sites and have a look. There's little maps there if you wanted to give yourself a self-guided tour. There's some finishing touches being done today on the last little bits of the art, and you might be able to see some of the artists still in action.
And these are on factory walls, am I right?
That's right. We had a few of the local businesses really get behind the project. And driven by Le Studio, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's an incredible space. There's lots of little rooms set up for artists so they can rent out spaces.
Wonderful.
And we know that getting space is hard.
And this is at Morty Village, and it's in the Mordialloc Industrial Precinct, bordered by Governor Road and the Epsom Wetlands. So you can have a double trip if you like. You can go and have a look at the wetlands, have a look at some ducks, and then head over to the industrial precinct to have a look at the wonderful new art trail, the wall-to-wall festival art trail.
Yes, there's amazing hot chocolates if you're there. They're
like any day?
Really delicious. Yeah, any day of the week.
Oh, okay, because you had lots of food trucks there over the weekend.
Yes, there's a permanent site there called Urban Ground, and that's super fun. They do pizzas and drinks, and they've got a little play area for kids. So really family friendly, which is, I love that we're bringing that European style of getting together to Melbourne. I really love seeing that.
And over the weekend, it was virtually a street party and festival, wasn't it?
We closed the street, yep.
DJs even?
Yes. Yeah, there's some dancing.
Face painting,
and people were getting involved in some of the mural paintings, so that was really exciting too.
Oh, that's wonderful. We're speaking with the Mayor of Kingston, Councillor Jenna Davey-Burns, and we'll be right back after this.
It's Ian Healy, and I'm here to talk to you about back pain and Kesar. If you're one of the 80% of Australians who suffer from back pain, it's tempting to do nothing, but this can cause weaknesses down the road. The best place to start with back pain is exercise, and the best place to exercise is Kesar. Kesar's physios and Swiss-designed strength training equipment help you build strength in a supervised environment. I go to Kesar and you can too.
Book at one of our 19 clinics across Victoria. Visit kesar.com.au.
Southern FM sponsor.
Hi, this is Dom from Tavola Bentley. Discover the essence of authentic Italian cuisine at Tavola, where Tavola means the family dining table. Let us serve you Italy on a plate, crafted with generations of love and authenticity. Why not try our express lunch with your choice of pasta plus wine and coffee? We are BYO at lunch. We are located just 200 meters away from Bentley Station and 2 doors down from Aldi Supermarket. Visit our website at tavola.com.au. Ci vediamo a tavola.
Southern FM sponsor.
Keringle Bowls Club has been part of the Bayside Frankston community for more than 50 years. Try barefoot bowls with family, work or sport mates for fun and team building. Bowls coaching is available. Enjoy Friday night bistro meals from $20 and raffles too. Keringle Bowls Club, 248 Sky Road, Keringle. Phone 9789 0754 or visit keringlebowlsclub.com.au. Southern FM sponsor.
We had a few broken branches in the last storm. Now, I'm pretty handy with a chainsaw and a ladder, so what could go wrong? Well, the last thing I remember as I fell was...
Dawson's!
Dawson's Tree Services are trained arborists, fully insured, and unlike me, they know what they're doing. They came, they pruned, they trimmed, and they cleaned up the site. Turns out, leaves are not the only things to fall out of trees.
Dawson's!
Dawson's Tree Services. Call them now for a free quote on 9720 511.
Southern FM sponsor.
A reminder that school zones are in operation between 8 and 9:30 a.m. and then again at 2:30 till 4. Thank you for keeping us safe.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
And this is a newsman and his music, to use the voice of the guy who does the Dawson's Trees ad. Oh, gee. You know, people say to me when they hear me on the radio, "You must be from England."
Oh.
No. I was born in Gippsland and raised in Noble Park.
Oh, how good is Gippsland? I was in Warrigal on Saturday.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's beautiful down there.
It's almost an outer suburb now. Druin and Longwarry have got little housing, big housing estates. And, you know, you can get there in, well, pretty quickly on the V-Line.
Oh, I was down there in an hour and 10 minutes in the car, which was good.
Yeah.
Went down for the Australian, the Women's Local Government Association conference, which was phenomenal, actually.
Oh, great that they had it in a rural or regional town.
They did, yeah.
And, you know that on the V-Line trains, they're called Velocities, they're the modern V-Line trains, if you go to the toilet, I am the voice of the toilet.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
For your privacy, please remember to lock the door. Yes.
Oh,
so there you
good.
Go.
I'll have to go listen out for one.
That's why people think I'm a pom, because I speak proper.
Well, you might need to give me some elocution lessons then.
No, not at all. Now, you're also recognising the stars of Kingston's business community, and nominations close soon for the Kingston Sustainable Business Awards 2024.
Yes, they're closing tomorrow.
Wow.
So we need people to get those applications in today.
Those nominations.
Yes, that's right. It's really important to nominate, whether it's yourself or you're nominating a business that you know. There's six categories: waste reduction, diversity and inclusion, towards net zero. Anyway, there's a few. Oh, young change makers is probably one I'm really excited to see as well.
So young entrepreneurs, business people under 30.
And innovators.
Yeah.
So we had this award last year for the very first time, and it was exceptional seeing the businesses coming forward and what they're doing in Kingston. I was actually quite blown away. I didn't know we had so many incredible businesses doing so many great things for the environment.
So look out for that one. And if you want to nominate, go to kingston.vic.gov.au/business awards. Hey, you've got a fantastic new program that helps find computers new homes with local secondary students who might not otherwise be able to afford a computer.
This was a really successful partnership that we started recently. So we've donated 200 of our laptops that were previously used by Kingston staff.
Wonderful.
And we've had those cleaned and obviously utilised now by school students.
So all the data's been erased properly.
Yes, all cleaned properly.
And then the anything that needed refurbishing has been done, and they're now being how do you find the recipients, I should say?
So we've been working with a partner called This Is It or This Is IT. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I've heard people using both. I actually got to meet them recently. We went down to Mordalloc Secondary College, met with the school captains when we were actually handing over those laptops. It was a pretty moving moment to hear about some of the challenges that young people are facing when they're going to high school, having to go to the library every day to borrow a laptop or maybe just missing out completely. And I was pretty shocked to hear that there are many other students across Victoria who are missing out on part of their education because they don't have access to a laptop. This is something that I think other councils could look at, joining in.
Mm.
It's something that, you know, it's great for the environment. You know, we're not putting things into landfill.
Yeah,
we're recycling
it's wonderful.
Them.
It really is. So 2,000 computers have been found new homes through the This Is IT initiative.
Yes, that's right. They're an incredible group.
That is just fantastic.
They're very, very passionate about what they do. And I think what I also really loved was the way that they spoke about their program. You know, it's very important that when we do things like this that we respect the dignity of young people.
Yeah.
And when they're missing out on things that we, you know, the way that we call that out or we talk about it carries the respect that those young people deserve.
Now, it's time for giveaways.
Oh.
And you have an offer for every listener who...
I thought we were doing giveaways.
Every listener who is in Kingston can yes. qualify for one of these freebies. And tell me what you're offering.
Oh, well, this is a program that we run every year. And we're very excited because we have our plant giveaways. Last year at Kingston Heath, actually, this program was so popular. I think by 9:30, we had the staff jumping in the ute and driving down to the depot to pick up more plants to give away.
And are they little... seedlings, I forget, in little punnets, are they?
What I loved was there was a whole range, so people right. could come in and talk about what would be an appropriate planting for the property that they're on. You know, and we're really looking at attracting, obviously, native birds and supporting our yeah. bees as well. So flowering plants were really important last year. We've got a few coming up. So the Grange Reserve in Clayton South, that's this Saturday, 9 to 12.
Yeah.
Carrum Indigenous Nursery next Friday, the 10th, from 9 to 12. Again on Tuesday the 14th, and that Kingston Heath Reserve one that I mentioned, that's on Saturday the 18th of May from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. And there will be a team there from Kingston ready to answer any queries you have as well. It's a great way to learn about native
really
planting.
Is. And a lot of native plants are suitable for even the smallest of home yards of
that's
gardens.
Right. And they look beautiful too.
They really do. And coming up, of course, as it does every first Saturday of the month, is the Kingston Farmers Market.
Oh, yes.
Do you
I
enjoy
love
a farmers market?
Okay, I have to admit that I've got a few favourite stalls.
Yeah.
So that's this Saturday. The falafel stall is a bit of a favourite of mine.
Oh, yum.
There's also delicious goz. Look, there's heaps there that I love. It's a beautiful spot, actually, and if you've got a young family, there's a playground right next door, so it's a great morning out. You pop out, it's set under the trees, it's across from DFO.
Kingston Heath Reserve in
yes,
Cheltenham.
That's right.
As you say, right across the road from the DFO.
Yes.
Close to the airport.
Oh, my goodness. And there's the Airport Museum. Have I talked about the Airport Museum?
No, go
oh
for it.
Oh, my gosh.
That must be great.
It is.
And interesting.
So fun. So incredible. They've got big plans for expansion. So I think they're in discussion with the state government for funding because they desperately need it.
Yeah.
They have got some of the most incredible aircrafts there. A lot are still in storage because they don't have space.
Okay.
But they've got fighter planes back from the First and Second World Wars. Mm. They've got police helicopters that have been donated when they can't be used. And you can see the kids running around and they're able to climb into the cockpits of these planes.
Oh, that is magic.
It really is. It's a gem.
You mentioned the planes from the wars. Did you attend any Anzac Day observances in Kingston?
Yes, we had a beautiful set of Anzac Day observances across Kingston. We're very lucky to have such a strong community. Mm. I was at Hyatt for the dawn service.
The RSL one?
Yes, that's right. And I got a promotion. I was introduced as Senator Jenna Davey Burns. So.
Look to the future.
That was fun. And then I went down to Mentone and that was just such a moving ceremony.
Wow.
I don't know how many people were there, but if you've ever been to Mentone, that area was full, and it was full of young kids.
Yeah.
All of the schools came along, so we had...
Was that the dawn one or later on?
No, that's at 9 a.m.
9 a.m., yeah.
And we had some beads. They were they had their drumming band, their marching band playing. Mm. Mentone Girls, Grammar were there.
I think we'll try to make arrangements to do a live broadcast.
Honestly,
from there.
Wouldn't
that be good?
It would be wonderful. They also had Mentone Primary School students. They sang the national anthem.
Yeah.
And they performed it in Auslan.
Oh, wonderful.
And I just thought this is just such a great example of what our community does when we come together.
And the reason I was thinking of a live broadcast is there are many members of the community who are unable for whatever reason to get out to these events.
That's right.
And we could bring them to them.
Oh, that's such a wonderful... We would love to partner with you or help support, connect you with any of those groups. There's quite a lot across Kingston.
And we're very appreciative, of course, of Kingston Council's grants that we've been receiving over the past couple of years. And we've put in for another one. And we've got our fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the grants, I think, are a really important way of our community being able to let us know what's important to them. And I always love that idea of group self-determining, what works for them. So I'm very, very supportive and hope one day we can look to increase our grants program.
And that's available to just about any community group. There's all the criteria you need is on the website. And they're, I think, closed for this current round, but... have a look on the website if you're a community group that needs funding.
Yes, there is one that runs all throughout the year. So it's worth having a look if you are an individual or a community group wanting to do something. Best to have a look and see. There's a few grant categories there that might be relevant.
Well, Councillor Jenna Davey Burns, Mayor of Kingston, thank you so much for joining us once again here at Southern FM.
Oh, it's been so lovely to see you. Thanks for the chat.
And here's one of my favourites from the ARIA charts at the moment. It's Cyril.
Oh.
And the cover of the Chris Norman and Susie Quattro hit Stumbling In.
Oh, fantastic. I promise to sing along. And it is my pleasure to welcome to the studio the Mayor of the City of Bayside, Councillor Fiona Stitfold. Thank you very much, and what a packed agenda we have today. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to the Beaumaris Art Group about their upgrade that they're getting thanks to Council, and it's been mooted as a $4.6 million project that is in the Council's media release. But I understand the costs really exceed $6 million. Am I right?
The costs, the $4.6 million and $180,000 for changing places facility is the cost of construction. So it doesn't include the cost of the planning, consultancy and design work leading up to the construction phase or the project resources such as project staff or contingency.
Okay, so really it was a bit misleading to announce it as a $4.6 million project. So no doubt the media release will be upgraded and updated to show the public that it's actually costing them $6 million, $6.2 million.
I'm sure they'll be having a look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what community consultation led up to the decision to do this major refurb and enhancement of Beaumaris Art Group Studio?
There was significant consultation over a number of years. It actually started in 2016 as part of the council plan for the 2016 to 2020.
And it was determined, was it, that there wasn't enough art activity or outlets for artistic endeavours down in that part of the city of Bayside?
It's an incredibly important facility. There's a huge number of people that attend there, and it's part of a precinct that is one of a kind, actually, that for the Beaumaris Modern Precinct.
Yep.
But there was additional consultation in November 2018, then late 2019, and then finally in February 2020 is when the council resolved to proceed with the project.
Now, it is open to the public to a certain extent, but a lot of the courses are quite charged quite high fees there. For example, $250 for 8 lessons. And interestingly enough, the money from the fees goes largely to the course conveners or instructors. So it's kind of a quasi-commercial arrangement, really, rather than a community-based one.
It is actually normal practice for community groups to undertake that kind of process. The members can join Open Studios, where it's just $10 for a session. There are concessional rates as well. There's also under 15 years of age rate. But it costs maybe around $250, and it would cover the full 8 weeks of the course.
Okay.
As well as all of the materials, etc.
So if you've got to be reasonably well off to undertake one of these courses. It's a shame that there's not something for low-income people to take part in the Beaumaris Art Studio classes, and maybe that's something council could have a look at down the track.
Yeah, we do want high-quality instructors. All the materials, utilities, instructor time is covered with that course fee.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So we have established that it wasn't $4.6 million. It was actually $6.2 million. So thank you for confirming that after my little bit of research on that. And I think that'll just put the public mind at ease that the cost is really $6.2 million. Now, I also spoke to Felicity Federico, a former mayor of Bayside, who's now on the board of the Hampton Community Centre, and what a wonderful job they do. They were a little concerned that there was a proposal. The way they read the proposal that council was going to consider was that there would be maybe up to 50 car parking spaces near the community centre sold off to raise funds for what's been determined or what's been dubbed the Hampton Hub. Can you put me in the picture as to whether or not there was ever a proposal to sell the 50 car parks?
In the February council meeting, it was resolved that we needed additional information about options and funding. Mm-hmm. And so there was number of different options that was put forward. Yeah. And unfortunately, there was that kind of concentration on the loss of the 50 car parking spaces, which was never the intention.
Okay.
It was purely options for exploration.
Options for exploration. So no wonder they got a little bit concerned where they saw that as an option, because, you know, parking's very scarce in that area because it is such a wonderful, busy shopping strip there along Hampton Street. And, of course, a lot of the people who attend Hampton Community Centre need to park close by because they have to enhance the accessibility for clients visiting the centre. So that is wonderful news that those car parking spaces will not be sold off.
It was certainly heard very loudly that there shouldn't be any loss of car parking.
Great. Now, what is the future of this Hampton Hub that's been proposed and considered for some time? And Hampton Hub, in essence, what would it be? A community centre that would incorporate a lot of groups in the region, in the area?
At the moment, we are still doing exploration.
Yep.
And that's a very, very important process because we're listening to the community.
Yeah.
When there is something that we can actually put forward, it will be definitely going out to community consultation.
Yes.
And that will be relating to the timing and the funding of the project. But it's certainly further deliberations and decisions of council are required, and that includes the public engagement and consultation at the appropriate time.
So it would be a medium to maybe even long-term plan, this consideration of funding for a Hampton Hub and development of same?
It is a long-term plan. It's in the long-term financial plan. So the resolution was for 2030.
Okay, and while we're on community facilities, let's have a look at the Brighton Rec, the Brighton Recreational Centre. As you know, it was damaged by fire, what, 2 or 3 years ago now? Anyway, it was damaged by fire. It necessitated the building being pretty much demolished, and a wonderful new facility has been established there just near Brighton Grammar. Yeah, absolutely. So the official opening of the Brighton Rec was held late last year, as I understand it, with the mayor and attendees almost having to wear protective gear because it was still a construction site. So that would have been a rather unusual opening, although it's not unusual to see politicians and councillors in high vis, is it?
High vis is actually the outfit of choice, it seems.
It does. You know, you can see Jacinta Allen just about any day in high vis down a tunnel somewhere or up on a scaffold. But nevertheless, that's when it was officially opened. Was it November last year?
It was around November. It wasn't quite a construction site. It was, it wasn't internally fitted out, but it was certainly completed.
Okay. Now, in late April, not one community activity has been held in this multi-million dollar centre. Council's website says ratepayers invested $9 million in the project. So I'm just wondering, what's the cause of the indefinite delay that's been mentioned on the centre's website?
Council is currently working with the Brighton Recreational Centre around their proposed operating model, and it does require significant support from council. But we must ensure that facilities such as the Brighton Recreational Centre are viable and are being used to service the needs of the community.
It would have been nice to work that out before the millions were spent, the $9 million was spent.
Unfortunately, things don't always go according to the plan, as you know.
Yeah, that's a shame because it's sitting there as a bit of a $9 million white elephant at the moment as no one's in there and there's no likelihood of anyone being in there until, some kind of working funding model can be set up.
We do hope in the coming weeks that a clearer time frame will be available.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I had noticed, though, in your budget estimates that there's another $500,000 supposed to be invested in that rec centre for, I think it's childcare, another $500,000 in the draft council budget. So there you go. That brings it up to nearly $10 million.
We do need to meet the needs of the community, and with the new 3- and 4-year-old kindergarten sessions, we need to identify additional locations.
So that was an afterthought. That wasn't thought of when the plan for the rec centre was first mooted because it wasn't incorporated. You need another $500,000 to do it.
It wasn't initially incorporated, but there were some changes that meant that we did need to have a look at what facilities and areas were available that we could actually use to look after our kindergarten-aged children.
Good on that. That's great that the council's looking after the kindies. And thank you so much for clarifying those three issues. There was a huge article on page 1 and pages 22 and 23 in The Age this weekend featuring the former mayor, Councillor Hannah Al-Muallam. But it wasn't all about him by any means. It was about what it's like to live in Brighton. And I know you're from parts out of Brighton. You're from...
I'm from Sandringham.
Sandy, yeah. Beautiful
but
as well.
But my mother grew up in Brighton.
Yes, so you're very much connected and love Brighton like we all do.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful place to live, but it has been a little concerning lately with the reported increase in, let's call it, opportunistic crimes, you know, house breakings, car theft and that sort of thing. Are you going to be meeting with the local police about this issue at all?
Council actually does a lot of work with the local police, and they also do a lot of collaboration with a number of different organisations. For example, Neighbourhood Watch
is
one of the key organisations that they do
they
work with.
They are very active.
Overall, Bayside is, as we know, one of the safest places to live with in Melbourne.
Indeed, the police were quoted in that article in The Age as saying that, and that's very reassuring and good to know that you have regular contact and liaison with the Victoria Police who are based in our area as well.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Hey, graffiti is something that can be a bit of a scourge in our community, but you're seeking public input about the plan for tackling graffiti.
We are. The graffiti management plan policy is coming up for, or it is out for engagement, and that is up until the 19th of May. Engagement closes on that one.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than tags that, you know, affect the visual appearance of neighbourhoods, and I know there's a community group, I think it's based in by Morris or Sandringham, that works with the council to go and remove graffiti busters, I think it is, or something
it
like
is
that.
It is graffiti busters, yeah. And they do fabulous work.
They really do, and I've had them on the program, and that is wonderful. But there was an interesting idea, and one of the things that often comes forward is to paint it before the taggers get there. And if you paint art on walls or spaces, that tends to deter taggers.
There have been a number of projects, and that's been done in consultation with other groups to support that and other councils.
There's been a beautiful new work of art created in a little parklet that's been created behind Church Street Shopping Centre. I forget the name of the little parklet there, but it's just wonderful. It's just in the car park behind Coles.
Yes. And there's also another one up on the Nepean Highway, and there's also the bridge artwork that was done around that area.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I often see some of the power boxes or the traffic light control boxes have also got wonderful little mini murals on them, and they're wonderful too.
It is great, and it's great to support artists to actually have that public face too.
Yeah. We've heard about in the news in the past week or so cases of asbestos being found in playgrounds, and it was announced on Tuesday before Anzac Day that asbestos particles had been found at Dendy Park. And what's been happening with that? I understand the EPA has tested it and confirmed that it is asbestos.
Yes, it was actually found at Dendy Park over the weekend. We've had the EPA up there. The contaminant has been located and tested. It is not to do with mulch, but they do have an environmental hygienist on the site today to look for further potential contaminants.
Oh, that's great. You know, it could be something as simple and as irresponsible as a renovator dumping some asbestos sheeting in the area or something along that. I'm not going to speculate too much, but it could have been sources way out of control of council.
Unfortunately, that's all too common.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of consultation, the budget's open for consultation, and the proposed 2024-25 budget. It's obviously a huge budget that council deals with. What's it run to in total in terms of millions?
Just from memory, I think it's around 181 million.
That is correct.
It
Your
is
memory
a significant...
is wonderful.
Good.
And the whole idea, of course, is to ensure Bayside is one, livable, inclusive, and connected. And there are three aims that are really worthwhile and worthy aims, and obviously to fund a budget and all the projects that you undertake, you'll have to have rates, and everyone pays rates who owns a property. And what would be the rate increase that is it planned this year?
It's 2.75, and that's in line with the government rate capping.
So you can't go any higher than 2.75.
Can't go any higher, but it's incredibly important that we do have that so that we can fund all of those projects, because 68% of our revenue is actually raised through rates.
Oh, wow. And the rest of it comes from such things as dog registration fees, parking fines, no doubt, other income sources that you might
leasing perhaps, there's also a number of grants that we do get.
Ah, yes, of course. And are you concerned, like the former mayor of Glenira, Jim McGee, was always talking about cost shifting from the state government to councils? In other words, things like lollipop crossing supervisors outside schools, they were largely funded by, or 50-50 by, state and local government, and now the funding model has changed somewhat. that it's nearly 90% covered by councils these days.
There is a lot of additional heavy lifting that council does.
I like the way you word that. It is heavy lifting, and because councils are so much more now than roads, rubbish and you know, sports ovals, aren't they?
They certainly are, but that's all integrated in all sorts of other things. For example, if you're thinking about our infrastructure, we need to make sure that that's climate friendly. But the waste is such a huge issue once again, and we have to, as the waste charges increase, we need to look at other ways so that we can reduce that and help offset the costs for our residents.
You know, the beautiful project, the Yellowcat Willem Nature Reserve, which was based on the former Elsternwick Golf Course.
Yes.
It's right on the border of two other cities, which I will name, Glenira and Port Phillip. Yet those two have not put in a lousy dollar, as far as I understand, or they might have given a couple of hundred each, towards the massive cost of implementing what is a wonderful wetlands project, a passive recreation space, and a really wonderful indigenous species area.
It certainly is a wonderful chain of ponds. It will do a lot of water management, and it will also clean the water before it actually gets out into the bay. So it has a lot of services that it will provide, as well as the health, well-being, etc. I know Port Phillip has put in some funds.
Good.
But we also need to remember that we share facilities in these other councils. We don't ever not stray beyond our borders. So I think it's very nice that we have reciprocal arrangements and we can enjoy the things that other council areas offer, and we can also offer something to them.
That is very nice. Now, would there be any plan or any thought of banning dogs from the Yellowcat Willem Nature Reserve? I do take Baxter the News Hound for walks there sometimes. He's on his lead. He's not attacking the wonderful wildlife that is there. But I really do understand the need for all pets to be under control and actually on a leash if they're in that area.
Yeah, thank you very much for keeping your dog on it. That's very important. And in all our reserves, it's very important that dogs are kept on leads.
Yeah, absolutely. Although he has been known to take a dip in that ornamental pond near the council chamber. Anyhow, moving right along.
I bet he smells after that.
How are we going to grow our local and visitor economy? I understand that you've got a five-year draft economic development, tourism and placemaking strategy, and that's also open for public consultation for ratepayers to have their say.
It is out for public consultation, and we have a number of things out actually at the moment for public consultation, and that one closes on the 9th of May 2024.
Would that look at places like the bathing boxes, you know, on Brighton Beach and all that sort of thing? Because they are a real tourist attraction, and ways to make it even more viable and sustainable, that sort of thing.
It is, I think, our number one visitor tourist attraction in Bayside, and some people will even say Melbourne.
Yeah, it is. It's so wonderful. I took my London friends over there recently and they were blown away. They thought it was terrific. You know, it really is quite a wonderful tourist site. And, of course, the brand new life-saving club must be very close to being open too.
That also should be coming up in the coming months. And I think it was mentioned June, but don't hold me to that.
No, and you might get your name on a plaque if you officially open it. You never know.
I'd prefer just to have mayor and councillors.
Yeah, mayor and councillors. No, that's very, very inclusive, and that's what it's all about. Now, you've also got plans for the Hyatt Grassy Woodland, and I love the name, the Hyatt Grassy Woodland. Is that on the old CSIRO site?
It is indeed, and it's quite a magic place. The trees there are significant and beautiful. So it's also a very exciting place because as it's being left to regenerate, there are new plants, species that we haven't seen for a very long time.
They've been lying dormant in the soil.
They've been lying dormant in the soil, yes.
Wow.
So we really encourage people to have a look at that. It's a very important conservation site, and the consultation for that finishes on the 19th of May.
That is really wonderful. We'll be back with the Mayor of Bayside, Councillor Fiona Stitfold, right after this.
Hi, this is Dom from Tavola Bentley. Discover the essence of authentic Italian cuisine at Tavola, where Tavola means the family dining table. Let us serve you Italy on a plate, crafted with generations of love and authenticity. Why not try our express lunch with your choice of pasta plus wine and coffee? We are BYO at lunch. We are located just 200 meters away from Bentley Station and 2 doors down from Aldi Supermarket. Visit our website at tavola.com.au. Ci vediamo a tavola.
Southern FM sponsor.
Coringle Bowls Club has been part of the Bayside Frankston community for more than 50 years. Try barefoot bowls with family, work or sport mates for fun and team building. Bowls coaching is available. Enjoy Friday night bistro meals from $20 and raffles too. Coringle Bowls Club, 248 Sky Road, Coringle. Phone 9789 0754 or visit coringlebowlsclub.com.au. Southern FM sponsor.
If you need your glasses to see it, it's too high. Call
Dawson's!
Dawson's can prune the tallest trees to the shortest ones. No job too big or too small. Call now for a free quote. Call 9720 5111.
Southern FM sponsor.
If you're concerned about our environment, why not come along to the inaugural Sandy Eco Expo? It's on Saturday the 11th of May at the Sandy Beach Community Centre, 2 Sims Street, Sandringham, from midday to 4pm. The volunteer-run event aims to raise awareness about local environmental and sustainability programs and to kickstart conversations about what more can be done. The expo will include bike repair workshops, a garden produce swap area, secondhand clothes market, gardening tips, collection of specific recyclables, electric bike tryouts, and more. It's an initiative of community groups Village Zero Sandringham, Bayside Climate Crisis Action Group, and 3191 Beach Patrol. For information about the expo, visit villagezero.com.au.
Yes, the Sandy Eco Expo, 11th of May, and I'm with the Mayor of Bayside, Councillor Fiona Stitfold. That is a wonderful initiative, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's quite incredible to see all of the community coming together. And the more people that hear about it, the more people who want to be involved. It's wonderful.
So head down to Sandy on the 11th of May for the Eco Expo, the inaugural event. And you can even take some clothes to recycle or the whole range of things. That they've got a website. Just look up Village Zero. Now, we've covered the Hyatt Grassy Woodland and there was an old song by, I think it was the Goons. I talk to the trees, that's why they put me away. But if you...
I actually think if you talk to the trees, they should keep you out.
They should, indeed. Trees, there's something. We need to preserve our significant trees and maintain the wonderful green tree canopy that is so much a part of Bayside. You might even have a nice tree that's on your property you would like to include in the Significant Trees Register?
Yes, that the Significant Tree Register is open. And please nominate your trees for future generations and so that we can protect Bayside significant trees, which is also a key part of our Bayside Urban Forest Strategy.
On the website, there's a photo of a beautiful English oak and the property owner says she's delighted that the English oak will be preserved for years to come due to its inclusion on the Significant Tree Register. It's about 80 years old. It probably will live for another 100 years. The birds will be nesting and twittering, and also that tree will be doing its best to help being the lungs of the earth. So if you'd like to nominate a tree, visit the council website and click on the link to the Significant Tree Register. We're with the Mayor of Bayside, Councillor Fiona Stitfold. When's the next council meeting?
The next council meeting is in May and it will be the third week of May. You're really testing me here.
And you can watch that and see the live stream on the council's website. All the council meetings are live streamed. And there are also opportunities, aren't there, for submitting questions to council?
There are. You can submit questions and you can register to speak if there's a particular item that you're interested in.
Very, very good. Now, I've often thought about, you know, I might have a particular project at home that I want to do, but I really don't want to buy the equipment just for this one-off little project. But council might have a solution for me, and it's called the Library of Things.
This is another really exciting initiative. So if you've got little jobs to do or you want to test a new
gadget.
You can register for the Library of Things. It's going to be held at the, or it is already open. It opened on the 4th of April down at the Beaumaris Library.
Wow. So it's got home appliances, electronics and tools. And I know Clark Martin was very keen on this. Was he one of the driving forces or, you know, instigators, or again, was it an inclusive approach by councillors?
We have a very inclusive approach, and it's great that Clark Martin is actually very passionate about all of these sorts of things. And it, what it does is it diverts things from landfill. If you've got a project that you just need one tool for that one project, you don't have to go out and buy it, so it saves you money. Mm. You don't have to find a storage place for it, and we're all sharing all of the resources that we have.
Great. Well, one thing I hope you don't lend there is those noisy brooms, those blowers that people, I've seen it again all weekend. People were blowing leaves from their property onto the roads. Now, where do they reckon they're going to end up?
Unfortunately, they end up in the drains and out at sea.
And next time there's a flood or a heavy rain event and you wonder why your street is flooding, it's because you and your blower have blocked the drains with leaves.
It may be a contributor.
Sorry, I should not be so harsh in my judgment about these noisy brooms. There is a silent device you can use to sweep up the leaves.
Good old-fashioned broom.
That's it.
and it gives you exercise.
The beaut thing is you can put it in those great green waste bins that council provides now. That is a marvellous initiative, isn't it, for diverting waste from landfill?
It certainly is, and it's also good for your home compost.
It really is. Hey, there's a new scheme that connects older Bayside residents with other locals through cooking, isn't there? That is a marvellous initiative, that connecting through cooking.
It is a lovely initiative, and I actually met somebody who was doing it, and they had got so much from cooking a meal and then going and sharing it with a resident.
It really is. Now, if you were cooking, what's some of your, you know, favourite cuisine that you cook up a storm in your kitchen, Fiona Stitfold?
Well, risotto is a favourite one.
Yeah.
And you can't go past a lamb roast for all the family, can you?
Well, thank you so much, and we'll catch you again very soon here at Southern FM. It's been a pleasure having you in today. The Mayor of Bayside, Councillor Fiona Stitfold, thank you so much.
Thank you, Colin.